Hello, everybody. I'm battling a cold, but like the true warrior that I am, I'm here to present you another special edition of the podcast as the Rating Room presents The Wrestling Room.
The Rating Room.
Now, in this episode, we're going back to 1987, WrestleMania 3, and a classic battle for the Intercontinental Championship. It wasn't the main event that night, but it most definitely stole the show. Now, WrestleMania 3 took place on the 29th of March 1987 in the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. Now, the reported attendance was 93,173, although the real attendance was believed to be closer to sort of 78,000 mark, but 93,000 certainly sounds a lot better, doesn't it? But either way, it was an attendance record for the WWE that stood for 29 years. Now, in the run-up to this event, Randy Savage had attacked Ricky Steamboat with an elbow that had thrust the dragon's throat into the security rail and then crushed his larynx using the ring bell. This resulted in a feud that lasted for around 6 months before culminating here in a championship match at the granddaddy of them all. Now, a little fun fact about WrestleMania, just as a bit of an aside, Aretha Franklin kicked off the show singing America the Beautiful. And when WrestleMania 23 came to Michigan, Aretha Franklin was there again to sing America the Beautiful on what was almost 20 years to the day after she first sang there. Now, of course, we're going to be talking about the Intercontinental Championship match, as stated, but there are other matches on the card, and the card looks something like this. The Can-Am Connection, which was Rick Martel and Tom Zenk, defeated Bob Orton and the Magnificent Morocco. Billy Jack Haynes versus Hercules ended in a double countout. Hillbilly Jim, the Haiti Kid, and Little Beaver defeated King Kong Bundy, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook. Harley Race defeated the Junkyard Dog. The Dream Team, which was Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake, defeated the Rougeau Brothers, Jacques and Raymond. Rowdy Roddy Piper defeated Adrian Adonis in a hair versus hair match. Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, defeated Tito Santana and the British Bulldogs of Davey Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid. Butch Reed defeated Coco Beware. Then we get to the match that we're about to discuss, but there are a few matches after it as well, as the Honky Tonk Man defeated Jake the Snake Roberts. The Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff beat the Killer Bees, B. Brian Blair and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel. And in the main event, WWE Champion Hulk Hogan defeated Andre the Giant. But let's get into the match we're here to discuss. The Intercontinental Championship match between Ricky the Dragon Steamboat as challenger fighting the champion Randy Macho Man Savage. There's pomp and circumstance as Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth make their way to the ring. This is a huge stadium, by the way. So, you know, I mentioned the 93,000 or 78,000, whichever is more accurate. But either way, it's a huge stadium, the Pontiac Silverdome. So there's a really long aisleway to the ring. The wrestlers were transported to the ring on carts that looked like mini rings almost to just kind of speed things up a little bit. Ricky Steamboat was out with George the Animal Steel in his corner to kind of even the odds, I guess, although I'm not sure what threat Miss Elizabeth really has. Yeah. But anyway, as the match started, we get a couple of collar and elbow tie-ups. You know, no one really getting the advantage at this point. But then Randy Savage leaves the ring and basically drags Miss Elizabeth to the other side of the ring, puts her in her place a little bit, which is probably more of a discussion for another time in terms of the relationship dynamic between the two. But that he gets back in the ring. There's a couple of arm drags by Ricky Steamboat, and you know, for those of you in the know, you'll know that nobody really does them better than him. Things of beauty they are. Savage fights back with some cheap shots, but Steamboat works on the arm. There's a lot of back and forth action. I won't go blow by blow, as it were, but there's a few near falls by Steamboat before Savage sends him outside, and then a knee to the back sends him flying into the crowd. Whilst he's outside, Savage climbs to the top rope, hits a double axe handle on the floor, then another one inside the ring, and then we get a series of near falls for Savage as he hits a suplex, an atomic drop, an elbow, and a gut wrench suplex. Steamboat's in trouble, but he manages to fight back with a series of chops. Really good action at this point. And worth noting, on commentary, you've got Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura. And Jesse Ventura is really playing up the heel, and he's constantly complaining about the referee every time that Steamboat takes charge. We get a series of two counts for Steamboat now. He's using a sunset flip and a roll-up and a cradle. But then there's a bit of a malfunction at the junction, and the referee takes a bump and he's down. Savage goes to the top rope, hits his elbow drop. Should be a three count, but the referee's still down. There's no one there to count. So Savage thinks, I'll take advantage of this. Goes outside, grabs the ring bell, as he's used in the past. But George Steele stops him, and he pushes Savage off the top rope. Both men get back to their feet. Savage goes for the body slam, but Steamboat turns it into a small package, and the referee counts to three. And we have a new Intercontinental Champion, and a fine, fine match it was as well. So let's end with the all-important ratings. So, as I mentioned in the previous episode of The Wrestling Room, in the main pod, we look at IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. For the purpose of The Wrestling Room, we're looking at a couple of other rating systems, one being Dave Meltzer's star ratings that he does for The Wrestling Observer, which is quite a famous rating-based system, and another one, which is based on fan votes, is the Cage Match website. So Dave Meltzer gave this a star rating of 4.5 stars, high, high praise indeed. And Cage Match, based on 463 votes, the average score was 9.02 out of 10. So there's a lot of love for this match. Now, my rating is 7 out of 10, and I'm basing that on what I've seen today rather than what happened in 1987. It was a fantastic match, don't get me wrong. It was ahead of its time. You know, people were not used to seeing that kind of action very often in matches back in the late 80s. So this was a match that was really ahead of its time and stood out as a real show stealer. Looking back all these years later, it still holds up, still a really good match, but probably doesn't quite hold up to some of the standards you see in more modern times, but still a very, very respectable 7 out of 10, in my opinion. And there we go. Let me know what you think. If you think have I been too harsh? Have I been over generous? Was this one of those overrated matches, or is this actually an underrated classic? Let me know. And I'll see you soon for another episode of The Wrestling Room.